Boston Cast, Wednesday, December 14th, 2005. It's Wednesday, December 14th, 2005. Hey everyone, it's Matt from the Boston Cast. Got a great show lined up for you today, but first of all, please visit www.thebostoncastfansite.blogspot.com and send me an email, thebostoncast@yahoo.com. Alright guys, got a great show for you today, packed full of info, the midweek episodes, so let's begin. Let's see, see if I can stretch this show out a little bit to get as much info to you guys as possible. First of all, let's go to Patriots news. The Patriots will be playing the Buccaneers on the 17th. That is this Saturday. This will be back at home in New England in Gillette Stadium. You can see it at 1:30 p.m. this Saturday, December 17th. Patriots versus Buccaneers. Tom Brady will be in there. Everyone will be in there for the game. They have just had a great season so far, so I've got some news for you here. They did release their injury reports, so why don't I show you that right now. For the Patriots, Matt Light is doubtful to play with his ankle injury. Tom Ashworth, their T, is questionable with his knee. Tom Brady is still questionable with his right shoulder and with the hit he took to his shin on the fourth quarter last week's game to knock him out and put Flutie in there against the Bills in their 35-7 win. Then there's Corey Dilling, the running back, questionable with his calf. Heath Evans, the fullback, questionable with his shoulder. Kevin Falk, their other running back, questionable with his foot. Let's see, just some big names down the list. Asante Samuel, their CB, questionable with an infection. Some other little, Bethel Johnson, wide receivers, pelvis. Artel Hawkins, safety, questionable with his thigh. Just a lot of them missed practice. Everyone but Brady missed practice. Brady was gotten a couple throws there, but we'll see what happens to them. But they just have a ton of injuries. A lot of key players. I mean, as I said, Light from their line, their tackle, Light. Tom Ashworth, their tackle. Got some backups in there. Brady, big player, obviously. Dylan, their running back. Kevin Falk, their running back. Bethel Johnson, their wide receiver. I mean, Asante Samuel, cornerback. I mean, a lot of injuries, but they're just an injury-prone team, personally. That's what I think. But anyway, I'll look at some news right now for the Buccaneers' injury report. It doesn't look nearly as bad as the Patriots. I mean, Anthony McFarlane, their DT, is doubtful with his hamstring. Marquise Cooper, linebacker, questionable with his chest. And Yaron Bolden and Matt Bryant. Matt Bryant, the kicker, is probable with his hamstring. And Yaron Bolden, the cornerback, is probable with his calf injury, but he played in practice and he looks to be back in there. Doubtful means there's least a 75% chance they won't play. I mean, questionable is like a 50-50 chance, and probable is like virtually certain that they'll play. I mean, not virtually certain, but like 90%, 85%, but that they'll play. So, watch out for that game. And that's pretty much it. Let's look at a pregame, maybe? Yeah, why don't we go to some pregame? Let's see. The Patriots game, as I said, this Saturday. So, in Gillette Stadium, the Buccaneers' offense is really starting to come together. Everyone knows about the Buccaneers' defense, but Bill Belichick believes John Gruden's offense proposes just as much of a challenge this Saturday because of their versatility. The Patriots are winner of 4 of their last 5 games. They'll host the 9-4 Buccaneers. In the afternoon this Saturday, Tampa Bay has also won 4 of its last 5 and has been victorious in its last 3 road games, including a 20-10 win at Carolina last Sunday. New England will hope to build on a 35-7 victory in Buffalo last week, but will have to do so against a Buccaneer defense that ranks 3rd in the NFL, allowing just 16.1 points per game on average. That's pretty much it, but I mean, looks like a great game. If the Patriots can win, they'll be in great position, hopefully, to get to the playoffs. The weather report for Saturday, you know what? It doesn't look horrible. Partly cloudy, high in the mid-30s, lows around 20, so I think we'll have a game. The chance of rain is on Friday, but I think it should be out of there by Saturday. I'm acting a little weathermanish here, but the game should go on because they have had some questionable weather the past two games. But you know what? Football is football. They play all the time, so that's pretty much it. I mean, it's hot when it's cold. The weather may turn cold late in the NFL season, but in recent years, the Patriots have remained red hot. New England has historically responded well to the cold, comparing a 20-1 record since 1993 when the temperatures is 34 degrees or less. And when it gets even colder, the Patriots get even better. I mean, they're 14-0 since 1993 when it's 30 degrees or less. New England has also won 15 straight games when it's been 35 degrees or less. Additionally, quarterback Tom Brady has just been perfect in cold conditions, going 19-0 as a starter when it's below 40 degrees. The Patriots can clinch the AFC East title this week if they can defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Miami Dolphins lose to the New York Jets, or both the Patriots and the Dolphins games end in a tie. If any of those scenarios happen, the first-place Patriots would lead the second-place Dolphins by two games in the standings with two games to play, and the Patriots would be assured of winning the tiebreaker over the Dolphins based on a better divisional record. Patriots have won five division titles in the 11 full seasons since Robert Kraft purchased the team in 1994 and have led the NFL over that span with 12 playoff wins, four conference championships, and three Super Bowl titles. New England has won the AFC East crown in three of its last four seasons. They won in 2001, 2003, and 2004. The Patriots finished tied for the best record in the AFC in 2002, but New York Jets claimed the division crown on the third tiebreaker record against common opponents. Patriots have won eight division series titles in their 45-year history. Let's look at some history of the Patriots against the Buccaneers. The Patriots and the Buccaneers will meet this week for the first time in nearly six full seasons. They haven't played since September 3rd, 2000, so that looks great. That last game, Tampa Bay won 21-16, so it should be a good rival. But we'll see. Hope it's a great game for the Patriots and the Buccaneers. So that's pretty much your whole scoop on that game. I'll just come back with some quick news to follow that game on Sunday with the podcast. But I'm going really long here today. I thought I'd do a ton of Patriots news for you guys. So I really packed it up. So I hope that keeps the Patriots fans at rest and at bay until Sunday. But anyway, the Patriots will be facing the Buccaneers on Saturday at 1:30 p.m. in Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. All right, let's go to some Bruins news. The Bruins will play the Minnesota Wild in Minnesota on the 15th. This looks like a great game to me. And you know what? I just think they could do a great win, great to get a win here. I mean, they're still in last place, but a win here could move them up a little bit more, which I don't mind. I mean, look, last place, they're only back by six games with only, I don't know how many games left to play, but they could get out of last place. I mean, Toronto, look at Buffalo. They're in second place now. They were in second to last like 2 weeks ago. I remember talking about them on the podcast with the Bruins involved. But anyway, so they will play the Wild on the 15th at Minnesota. That is tomorrow, Thursday at 8 p.m. You can see the game on NESN. That will be their next game, and I will keep you posted on that on the Sunday podcast. All right, guys. First of all, excuse me for this dumb voice quality here. I am currently working out of a mobile newsroom right here. Not really a newsroom, but I've gone away for a little while, and I just needed to do the show for you guys, so I'm doing it off a laptop, and this is the best mic I could find at Staples for less than $50, so excuse the poor quality. As soon as I get back by this Sunday, I'll definitely have it on the good quality mic back in my home and on my iMac. But anyway, let's go to some Red Sox news. First of all, this is just some MLB news. Catch the This Year in Baseball Awards show. Was David Ortiz's superb clutch hitting enough to earn him the fans' vote as the season's best hitter? Tune into it Thursday at 1 p.m. on ESPN. Looks like a great show. I'm going to be watching, so I won't be watching, but I'll get the TiVo and the DVR hooked up while I'm in school. But anyway, I'll hopefully talk about the outcome of those awards on the Sunday show. So that looks great. All right, so Red Sox news for you guys. The Red Sox, first of all, they're saying that they can't wait to get Theo Epstein back. I mean, they haven't got him back yet, They haven't got him back already, but they hope to get him back. That first original deal they made him, but he hasn't responded to that yet. But we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, also I've got some hot stuff for you here. Clemens intrigues Red Sox. Club has high level of interest in ageless ace. Boston, seven in Boston. A day after it became public knowledge that the Red Sox made overtures to the agents of Roger Clemens on the topic of bringing the Rocket back to Boston, club president / CEO Larry Lucchino was asked what the team's level of interest is in the future for the future Hall of Famer. It's high from our viewpoint, but all we have done is planted a seed. We don't know much what he's thinking, and he's certainly going to take time. Great words. We'll see if they can get him. But Clemens will turn 44 in August, and that's just a legacy career. So will he think it's time to end it, or will he go back to the Red Sox? That's pretty much the big question right now. Past couple of seasons, Clemens has taken his time before deciding whether to come back and pitch. In both cases, he did so for his hometown in Houston Astros. But the Astros did not offer Clemens arbitration last week, meaning that the earliest he could rejoin the 2005 National League champions would be May 1st. Red Sox, along with the other 29 teams in Major League Baseball, have the opportunity to secure his services before that time. So we'll see what he acts on. Maybe it can be an early birthday present for me. Remember, today's May 3rd, so maybe I can get Clemens for you guys. But no, it's just a thought. But anyway, it would be great to get Clemens back in Boston, in my opinion. And tell me what you guys think. TheBostonCast@yahoo.com. Read your comments, any stuff you have. Posts on the forum, www.tvcforum.blogspot.com. Read them on the show, so check it out. All right, that's pretty much it on that stuff. But the Dodgers reportedly have inked Miller. Yeah, it's not a great thought, but I think Miller did great in Boston. But anyway, in Los Angeles, the Dodgers plugged the gaping hole left by last year's departure of third baseman Adrian Beltre on Wednesday by agreeing to sign free agent Bill Miller to a two-year contract. Miller, who is 34 now, hit .295 with 10 home runs and 62 RBIs for the Bo Sox last season, but spent his early years with the San Francisco Giants, where current Dodgers general manager Ned Colletti was assistant general manager. Miller also called Colletti last week with an endorsement for the hiring of Grady Little, who later was selected to manage the Dodgers. Miller, a former American League batting champ with the Sox, is the third free agent signed by Colletti after shortstop Rafael Furcal and backup catcher Sandy Alomar Jr., who are all great prospects. That is great. Miller is seen as a temporary solution at third base until the arrival of Topps prospect Andy LaRoche. Miller reported he had a three-year offer from the Pittsburgh Pirates, but chose the Dodgers because he preferred to play on the West Coast. That's out where his home is, because he made home when he was with the Giants, made a family, and started a family, and he wants to move back out there. But anyway, good for him. Miller has appeared in the postseason five different seasons, including the Bo Sox World Series title run in 2004. He earned $2.5 million in 2005. Miller is 5'10", 180 pounds, switch hitter, no for contact, and on-base percentage, although he slugged 19 home runs with 85 RBIs while hitting a league-high .326 and winning the Silver Slugger Award in his career year of 2003. I mean, the Dodgers used several different third basemen in 2005, I mean, with Oscar Robles appearing most of the 40 games. The most 40 games. I mean, they had, like, a ton of different third baseman in there, but anyway, Miller looks like a good solution for them until they can get that top prospect from the West Coast. Since they can get Andy LaRoche, that's just be a temporary solution, Miller. But we'll see where he bounces after that. But anyway, that's pretty much it on the Miller topic. So let's switch back to the Damon Damon problem, I'm going to say, that just keeps bouncing around. I mean, the Sox are still pondering over Damon. I mean, even though Red Sox management has continually expressed optimism concerning the return of free agent center fielder Johnny Damon, the club is still looking to move on. I mean, according to the Boston Globe, the Sox have had discussions with the Seattle Mariners concerning center fielder Jeremy Reed in a deal that would send right-hander Matt Clement to the Mariners and have a great season. I mean, Reed, 24 and talented, hit 255 with 3 home runs and 45 RBIs for Seattle last year. I mean, meanwhile, Clement, in his first year of a 3-year deal worth $25.5 million, signed as a free agent last winter, was 0-3 after winning September 3rd and was then blasted by the White Sox in American League Division Series. Reed's name popped up in recent reports out of New York that the Yankees were looking to replace Bernie Williams in center field, perhaps involved in a trade that would send rehabbing righty Carl Pavano to Seattle, but I don't know. I personally like to see the Red Sox and Yankees fight over Jeremy Reed, but that would be kind of funny. But I think we should get rid of him then. He's just a dog. I mean, he's just losing us games. We have no pitching, but getting Andy Marte in there really helps. Anyway, Monday, when the Red Sox unveiled new co-general managers Jed Hoyer and Ben Charrington, club's president CEO Larry Uchina said, "We want to sign Johnny Damon. We have every intention of doing so." But he added that if we don't, we have to move on. Great words of wisdom from Larry Uchina again. Wednesday night, Francona will narrate 'Twas the Night Before Christmas in front of the Boston Pops. Funny note there, on Christmas morning, the manager would love to wake up and find his old center fielder under his tree. If it doesn't happen, the Sox would have to be quick on their feet this offseason. They'll have to go to plan B. That would be Jeremy Reed, but I don't want Jeremy Reed. I want Johnny Damon. Hope we can find him under Terry Francona's Christmas tree. But anyway, that's it for Red Sox news on this edition of the Boston Cast. We're going long one here. All right. We're moving right along. All right, Celtics news. Celtics lost their last game by a score of 103-94 to the Mavericks. I've said this several times. They just haven't had a game since. Currently, the Celtics will start a new game. It will be versus the Pacers back at home in Boston. The game will start at 7:30. Right now, it's 7:15 my time, Eastern time. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I've already covered that game, the Celtics game. Paul Pierce poured in 28 points, and then last Saturday was their last game. I mean, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. I said this before, loss against Dallas. Boston trailed by a point with under 5 minutes to play before being outscored 8-0. I mean, just disappointing. Al Jefferson scored 21 and grabbed 12 rebounds. Great game for him, and Ricky Davis scored 20, but they just couldn't get it done. They can't hang in there. I mean, their next game starts in 15 minutes against the Pacers, a tough opponent. Hope they can get a win there, because currently they are 8-12. They're doing okay 20 games into the season. Not great, though. I was hoping for NBA Finals. Come on, I'm doing the NBA Finals episodes later this year. And I was hoping to have some Celtics in there. But anyway, 8-12. Turn the season around, dude. Let's go. Come on. Come on, Doc Rivers. Let's go. But anyway, they're in third place in the Atlantic, so there's room to improve, and there's time to move up, though, so that's absolutely great. I mean, they can hopefully move up, and that's just great. If they could move up, I would be so happy. But anyway, that's pretty much on that note. That's pretty much on much it on a ton of stuff here on the Boston Cast. This is a long episode. Yay, I finally got a lot of content in here for you guys today. But anyway, how long are we? 18 minutes and 50 seconds. All right, let's talk about stuff for a little while. First of all, the Boston Cast needs some more emails from you guys. TheBostonCast@yahoo.com. And second of all, I'm going to get a new host on here soon just to do a couple shows. Maybe once every week, maybe we'll do a show. Or not even that. Maybe once every 3 or 4 shows, we can do a show together. It'll be more unpredictable. It'll probably be a longer show, too, because we'll ponder all your Boston sports teams. I'll keep you up to date on all that stuff as it evolves. I think our secondary host's name might be Alex. I'm trying to find some new guys. But we'll see. He might do some shows with us to make it a little more unpredictable. But keep the emails in, thebostoncast@yahoo.com. And I must urge you to visit our website, www.thebostoncastfansite.blogspot.com. And hey, guys, We only need 50 more listeners to break the 1,000 listener mark. I had proposed that earlier, so if we can break the 1,000 listener mark by 2006, I would be over ecstatic. But hey guys, you know what? If you guys can send me the feedback, www.thebostoncastfansite.blogspot.com, check out the website. But hey, we almost got 1,000 hits on that website. But anyway, off that topic, when you guys send me feedback at thebostoncast@yahoo.com, just to get your guys' feedback in there so I can read it on the show, whenever you send me feedback, I will enter in a drawing for a Boston Cast podcast gift basket kind of thing. I'll get that all lined up. I've got tons of stuff for you guys, all this cool stickers, t-shirts, memorabilia for you guys of the Boston Cast, logos, all this cool stuff, special episodes. You guys, 1,000th, the drawing, I'll hold it when we get the 1,000th listener. Maybe I'll hold on Christmas Day. That'll be our day that we hold the drawing. So, hey guys, send me your emails, thebostoncast@yahoo.com, and every email I get will be entered in a drawing. And when I pick, if I pick your name, I'll send you email details. On you send me your address, and I'll send you the whole package out to your home. So, UPS, FedEx, you name it, I'll send it out to you guys. So, check that out. Send your feedback in, and you might just be a lucky winner for subscribing to the Boston Cast. So, thank you guys again for subscribing. So, send your feedback, thebostoncast@yahoo.com. Hey, Brian. Hey, John. I'm going to throw your emails in there, but keep the comments in. So, guys, send me the stuff, thebostoncast@yahoo.com. All right, that's pretty much it for this edition of the Boston Cast. That's pretty much it, so I'm going to tune out right now. Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll see you on Sunday with the podcast. This is Matt for the Boston Cast. Keep your emails in. Have a happy rest of the week. All right, see you guys. Bye. Yeah.